from Hollywood. Heartbeat Theater. Produced by the C.P. McGregor Studios for the Salvation Army. Welcome now to another drama about this world of ours, with its comedy and tragedy, happiness and sadness, hope and despair, and quite often a world made more stable and serene through the unceasing care and concern of the Salvation Army, serving man in the service of God. This week's story, written especially for Heartbeat Theater by Milton P. Kahn, is concerned with children and a man who has dedicated his life to bring laughter into a world of darkness. The man is Captain Lee Marshall of the Salvation Army, whose own daughter became blind because of a tragic accident. Here now is the first act of a story titled Very Special People.
Yes, Mrs. Morgan, I certainly will. And thank you so much for your donation to the Salvation Army. God bless you. Goodbye. Well, you're back, Lee. How'd it go with the kids?
Oh, just fine, Frank. Gosh, I just can't tell you how it feels to take a bunch of ghetto kids on an outing, to watch them playing and laughing as though they didn't have a care in the world.
I know. But it's late. Were you in the park all this time? The Army doesn't pay overtime, you know. Not even the captains.
Yeah, I know. No, I stopped by the Blind Children's Center.
Oh, for a little entertainment?
Yeah.
How'd it go?
Oh, well, they seemed happy enough. They laughed, but it wasn't like the kids playing and running around the park. On the way back here, I thought...
What?
Frank... Wouldn't it be something if there was a park just for blind children where they could laugh and play?
Yes, Lee, it would. That wasn't just a random thought, was it?
No. Now, there's a lot at the corner of 4rd and 3rd. Now, I've passed it dozens of times. You know the one I mean?
No.
It's a big lot. It's covered with weeds and blocked off by a 6-foot cyclone fence. It's been sitting there like that as long as I can remember. But, you know, with a little work, would you like to run over and see it tomorrow?
Well, I don't know if I can, Lee. Harley Alexander called this afternoon, and he's coming here sometime tomorrow.
You mean Harley Alexander, the philanthropist?
Yeah.
What does he want?
I don't know. He said he wanted to talk to me about something important.
Well, if you get through with him early enough...
Well, let's play it by ear, Lee, okay? Mm-hmm. After all, the lot's been there a long time. I'm sure it'll still be there. Yes?
Major Ritchie?
Yes?
I'm Harley Alexander.
Oh, Mr. Alexander, come in, come in.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything.
Not at all, sir, not at all. You said on the phone you wanted to talk. Well, I'm here to listen. Please, sit down, sir.
Thank you.
Now, how can we help you? If you have a problem...
No, Major, I don't have a problem, but you can help me.
How?
Well, I figure it's time to think about what I want to do the rest of my life. That's what's left of it.
Well, Mr. Alexander, a man as vigorous and healthy as you are has many good years ahead of him.
Well, thank you, Major. That's what I want to be sure of, and that's why I've come to see you.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Well, I'm a self-made man, Major Ritchie. I've been on my own ever since I was a kid. Any success I've had in my life, I've earned myself. I don't want to sound immodest, but if there's one thing I can say about myself, it's that I'm a good businessman.
Well, I'm sure of that.
See, I've always had good returns for my investments, and now I want to broaden out. I want to make some investment which won't necessarily bring me any returns personally, but returns to those who will benefit from my investments after I'm gone.
You mean your family?
No, they can take care of themselves, and that's what brings me to the reason I'm here. I want to make you an offer.
You... an offer?
Yes. I'll donate $25,000 to the Salvation Army if you will invest an additional $25,000 in a project that meets with my approval. Now, I'd like you to suggest a possible project for my investment.
Well, I don't understand, sir. Why don't you handle the investment yourself or let someone in your family do it? Why come to the Salvation Army?
Oh, it's very simple, Major. My children are financially well off, and I don't want any profits from this investment to add to their bank accounts. Now, this is a project I want to undertake completely outside the control of my family. Is a suggestion worth $25,000 to you, Major?
Well, yes. Yes, of course.
Well, then you'll accept my proposition?
Well, what time limit is involved?
No, take as little or as much time as you need. Well?
Well, let me look around, Mr. Alexander. I'll get in touch with you if I find something in which I think you'll be interested.
Good. I knew I came to the right place. Yes, Miss Green. What is it?
It's a Major Ritchie and a Captain Marshall of the Salvation Army would like to see you.
Oh, good. Ask them to come in.
Go in, please.
Thank you.
Come in, gentlemen. Come in.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Alexander.
Good morning.
This is Captain Lee Marshall.
Captain Marshall?
I'm very happy to meet you, Mr. Alexander.
Sit down, gentlemen. Sit down.
Thank you.
Okay.
I imagine you're here to talk about our project. Any progress?
Well, sir, we think we have found the right investment for you.
Good, good. What is it?
Do you know the lot at the corner of 4rd and 3rd Streets?
Can't say I do.
Well, it's a good-sized lot, undeveloped, and has been for several years. I checked with the City Planning Council, and the lot could be purchased well within your offer.
A lot? What could I do with a lot?
Well, actually, it was Captain Marshall who came up with an idea for developing the lot.
How's that?
Actually, as a playground, Mr. Alexander.
A playground? For children?
For blind children.
A playground for blind kids?
Well, let me explain. You see, there'd be large abstract figures with handrails that the children could climb on, and they could feel the intricate shapes, and... Well, there'd be slides and swings and a path for racing with ribbons, you know, to sort of guide the kids.
And there'd also be a swimming pool with several adults in attendance at all times.
And whenever I could spare time from my work at our men's social service center, I would, entertain the kids with my hand puppets, like I do at the Blind Children's Center.
Well, Mr. Alexander, what do you think?
If they have a center, why do they need a park?
Well, because there's no place for them to play at the center. It's more of a rehabilitation hospital than a place where they can enjoy themselves like other children.
Yeah, I think the park would be a wonderful thing.
Now, I've been thinking about something like that for a long time, and...
Well, I agree it might be a good idea, but somehow it just doesn't appeal to me.
But,
No, I generally invest in stocks or companies or property.
The lot... For the park is property.
Well, that isn't the kind of property I mean. Real property, like an apartment house or a condominium.
Mr. Alexander, if you would just come down and look at the lot...
No, I'm afraid it would be a waste of time. I'm sorry, gentlemen, but you'll just have to come up with something else.
But why, Frank? Why?
Why is he so dead set against the park?
I don't know, Lee.
It just doesn't make sense to me. It's almost as if he had something against kids.
Lee. Lee, I know how much you have your heart set on the park, and someday we may be able to find a way to have it built. But for now, we're just going to have to forget it and find something Alexander will approve.
No, but I was so sure he'd go for it.
Well, it's not for us to question his motives. He has his reasons, and there's nothing we can do about it. Lee, remember the words from the book of John, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." When the right thing comes along, we'll know it. Right now, I'd rather get you back to the men's center. The pickup trucks are due in half an hour, and you'll have a lot of unloading to do.
Okay, but I'll tell you one thing. I have not given up on the park. Somehow, I'm going to see that the kids get it.
That was the first act of this week's Heartbeat Theater story, Very Special People. We will continue in a moment. We just heard the captain say, "I haven't given up on the park." Those are important words. I haven't given up. And the dedicated men and women of the Salvation Army never give up. They never give up hope or faith in the helping of others. In its work with troubled individuals and families, the Salvation Army utilizes the counseling and casework skills of professionally trained social workers. In consultation with psychiatrists, psychologists, and other specialists, caseworkers deal with a variety of problems of family tensions and interpersonal relationships. The Salvation Army also utilizes these professional skills in its work with unmarried parents. In its homes and hospitals, the Army provides shelter, guidance, and medical care. It assists the unwed mother in planning the best possible future for herself and her baby. It also works with her parents or the unmarried father and his family. It works with other community agencies and uses its own many resources: employment bureaus, daycare centers, community centers, various types of residences, missing persons bureaus, correctional service bureaus, facilities for the treatment of alcoholics, and above all, the spiritual resources through which the troubled family or individual may develop inner strength to meet life's problems. You can share in this inspiring work by supporting the Salvation Army programs with your personal service, your gifts, either through your local federated fund or direct to the Salvation Army, and by remembering the Salvation Army in your will. And now back to the second act of the C.P. McGregor Studios production of Very Special People.
Good afternoon, Mr. Alexander.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Captain Marshall.
I apologize for interrupting your lunch.
That's okay. Sit down.
Thank you. Oh, your secretary told me where you were, and...
Would you like something to eat?
No, thank you. I've already had lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Major Ritchie asked me to give you this list of projects that you might be interested in.
Fine. I'll be glad to look them over. Sorry I turned down your park for blind kids, Captain, but as I told you, it just isn't the kind of thing I'd go for.
Yeah, I understand. How you invest your money is, it's your own business.
Well, did that park project mean so much to you?
I'm afraid it did. You see, I've dedicated myself to do whatever I can to help blind children. I have one of my own.
Oh? I'm sorry. Didn't know that. Boy?
No, it's my daughter.
Mm-hmm. Was she born blind?
No, she wasn't. It was the result of an accident.
Oh, how did that happen?
Well, to go back, you see, I was practicing law, criminal law.
You were a lawyer?
For 20 years.
Hmm.
And my wife and I were married my first year in law school. We always wanted children, but while I was going through school, we couldn't afford a family or, you know, give a child the attention it should have, so... we decided to wait.
Mm-hmm. Until you were graduated.
Well, once I passed the bar, I was too busy getting started to think about having children, so then when my wife and I were both 40, we discovered she was pregnant.
At 40?
I know that's a bit old to be a parent,
yeah.
But I want to tell you, we were thrilled. This was going to be a real love baby. Oh, boy, I remember we spent weeks thinking of a name, and we finally decided on Jeremy if it was a boy and Jenny if it was a girl. It was a girl. 7 pounds, 12 ounces, a healthy, beautiful girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the next 4 years we were so involved with Jenny that I hardly paid attention to the letters and the phone calls.
Letters and phone calls?
Oh, I suppose every criminal lawyer is bound to get threatening calls and letters, and mm-hmm. over the years I had my share. But that's all they were, calls and letters. Nothing ever happened. But then when Jenny was 5, I was prosecuting attorney on a murder case involving one of the labor unions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the letters and the phone calls became more vicious and threatening.
Well, what'd you do about them?
Well, there wasn't much I could do. We were in the middle of a trial, and I couldn't pull out.
I see.
Well, then, one evening, while we were watching television, the doorbell rang. Jenny was sitting on my lap, so I just held her in my arms when I got up to see who it was. And when I opened the door, someone in a Halloween mask threw a vial of acid at me. Well, by instinct, I jerked my head away, and Jenny got the acid right in her face.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, we rushed her to the hospital, but it was too late. She was blind, completely blind.
What a terrible thing. Not only for your daughter, but for you and your wife.
Well, she took it a lot better than I did. I blame myself for what happened. And then I went on a roaring drunk for weeks. I just can't remember anything that happened. It's all a blank. All I know is that when I came out of it, I was in the Salvation Army Corps in a city upstate. I don't have any idea how I got there. They just found me in a gutter someplace, unconscious. Mm-hmm. Everything on me that could be stolen was gone, even my shoes. And the way I felt, I didn't really care.
Well, what happened after that?
Well, they kept me at the Salvation Army for a week.
That's
and the
true.
Major, oh, God bless him, he talked me into seeing things in the right perspective. And, well, I decided to come home. And would you believe it, those wonderful people even paid for my plane ticket.
Hmm.
Now, on the plane, I made a decision. For years, I'd been involved in other people's lives. But I couldn't do it anymore. If it meant putting my own family's lives in jeopardy and even more. A lot of what the Salvation Army major had told me sank in. And by the time I got back home, I knew what I had to do.
You gave up your law career?
That's right. And I joined the Salvation Army. I could still save lives and devote myself to my family, especially Jenny and other blind children. And that's why I spend so much time at the Blind Children's Center.
Say, didn't you tell me you entertained there?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, with my hand puppets.
Mm-hmm.
I originally made these puppets to entertain Jenny. You see, well, each one had a distinctive feature, a bald head, mustache, pointed nose, large ears, you know. And each one had a name and a distinct voice, which I created for them.
I see.
So, by running her hands over the puppets' faces, Jenny learned to associate the voice and the name with the correct puppet.
Say, that's pretty ingenious.
Now, at first, she was a little withdrawn. But then she started carrying on conversations with the puppets. And I think they, more than anything, helped her accept her blindness. Now what I'm trying to do is the same thing with the kids at the center.
Well, you having any luck?
Oh, I'm getting there, but I'll tell you one thing. Some kids are hard to reach.
Mm-hmm.
With them, the puppets aren't the answer. But I knew a park would be a big help. Not only would it make them forget their blindness, it would give them self-confidence. And that's what they need more than anything. Oh, my gosh, look at the time. Look, I'm terribly sorry I took up so much of your lunch hour, but when I start talking about the kids, I get pretty wound up. Well, I better get back before Major Ritchie files a missing persons report.
Captain, would you take something back with you?
Oh, certainly.
Here.
You're tearing out Major Ritchie's list of projects.
I know. That's what I want you to take back.
I don't understand.
See, I've made up my mind where I want to invest my money.
Well, I'm sorry we couldn't come up with anything.
Oh, but you have.
Pardon?
If you ever decide to leave the Salvation Army, Captain, you have a job with me as a salesman.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand.
Captain Marshall, you just bought yourself a park for the blind kids.
You mean...
Yes, if you have that much faith in what you're doing, who am I to fight it? Major Ritchie, Harley Alexander. See, I just got back from a meeting with the City Planning Council. When I told them I'd finance the building of the park, they agreed to donate the lot for such a worthy cause.
No, Charlie, look, you're going to have to fix the climbing cubes. The too many sharp corners, the kids might hurt themselves.
Alexander? This is Major Ritchie.
You're fine, thank you. I just wanted to remind you we're having the grand opening of the park tomorrow, and you'll be there, of course. Oh, good. We'll see you there.
Well, Major, it looks like your park is a howling success.
Doesn't it?
Thanks to your generosity.
And Captain Marshall's persuasiveness. Say, I've never seen such happy children before.
Oh, come on now. I'm sure when your children were young, they...
Well, we gave our children everything, Major. Or should I say, everything money could buy. But thanks to Captain Marshall, I realized there were two things we didn't give them. Love and self-confidence. I guess that's why they grew up to be self-centered snobs and why I've resented them all their lives. And that's also why I didn't want them to invest any of my money. It would have been nothing more than a cold business transaction for them, completely devoid of any inner satisfaction or pride in what they'd done. Say, you know, Major, I've heard that confession is good for the soul, but I didn't realize it made you feel like this. by the way, where's Captain Marshall?
Right over there. He's over there with that group of children. Under the pepper tree.
Howdy, hi, holdy ho. This is your playmate. My name is... wait just a cotton picking second there. I know who I was when I came here. I've known me as far back as I can remember. But I don't remember me too good. So that's why I can't remember who I am. Oh, boy. This is very embarrassing, you know. It's prosteperous, too. I am a real dumbskull. How could I forget my name? Let me see now. I know I am not you. I'm not you. Or you. I don't want to leave you out, you know, because you would feel very disconcerted. So what I have to be is me, right? And if I'm me, I should know who I am. Well, now maybe, just maybe, if I gave myself three guesses, Morris, Boris, or Doris even. No, that doesn't sound right. Hey, wait a minute. Maybe one of you kids knows who I am.
Let me see.
Okay, little lady. Who am I? Hey, when you feel my nose like that, it tinkles me.
I know. You're Filbert.
Hey, yeah, that's right. Filbert. Yuck. I knew I was, some kind of a nut. Hey, tell me, what's your name?
Michelle?
No, that can't be. No, because Michael is a boy's name.
Not Michael. Michelle.
Oh, Michelle. Yay. Then why didn't you say so?
I did.
Then that's where I heard it. Hey, you want to hear a poem about you, Michelle?
Yes.
Okay, I wrote this especially for you. It goes like this here, see? It goes like this. I know a girl I think is swell. And what's her name? Why, it's Michelle. Why do I like her? I suppose because she has freckles on her nose.
You're silly.
No, I'm not. I'm... Hey, what was my name again?
Filbert!
Oh, that's right, Filbert. Yuck, yuck, yuck. And I came here to make you laugh. Anyone here feel like, laughing?
You've been listening to a radio play for Heartbeat Theater written by Milton P. Kahn, titled Very Special People. Dawes Butler played the part of Captain Lee Marshall. Others in the cast were Parley Bear, Maurice Hart, and Peggy Weber. Heartbeat Theater was produced by the C.P. McGregor Studios in Hollywood and directed by Don Hills. Please join us next week for our 1,000th Heartbeat Theater story. Until then, this is your host, Marvin Miller, wishing you a very pleasant week.